numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, how you doing?
What's up, bro? When are we going clubbing again? We haven't been clubbing
you?
In a while.
It was a little discussion before the show. What amount of money it would take for us to spend 3 hours. That's our mark. 3 hours.
3 hours.
In the
sober.
Dead of night in one of these clubs. Sober.
Sober.
Which for me is all the time.
Right.
and the answer to that question, we have learned, is a function of your age.
Mm-hmm.
The older you get, the more you become your father, the higher that figure becomes. Mm-hmm. There it is. We've solved all your problems this morning. All right. We'll take all submissions for how much money it would take for you to spend 3 hours late night in Denver. By the way, no games are going on, so you have no bets to distract you and pass the time.
That was my first question.
That's the real key.
I was like, do I get to pick the time that I could go in there? Because then I could follow a game or something.
No, nope. I'm throwing you in there when I want to throw you in there. All right, on the show today, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke to talk baseball with us, as will Will Hill. And speaking of baseball, how about every guest on the show yesterday? Legesa with the Corey Seager over bases. That was done and a win in your account by the time that Corey Seager swung that bat and put it out of the ballpark.
Bam.
Not out of the ballpark, but out of the in the bleachers, it should be stated. Deposited it deep past the fence for a solo jack in the first inning against the Orioles yesterday. We also had both Sporer and Borchard like the Rangers. Rangers win that game against the Orioles 7-1. And Borchardt even made that comment about how he was not as high as Sonny Gray as other people were. That manifested as well. The Astros' role in their game. Obviously, the Astros win it 9-1 against the Twins, take a 2-1 lead in that best-of-five divisional round series. Jose Abreu with a 3-run shot in the first inning to take a 1-0 lead to a 4-0 lead. Astros cruise from there to the 9-1 win. And by the way, in that Rangers 7-1 victory, it was not only the Seager solo jack, but it was the Aroldis Garcia 3-run homer that blew open a 3-0 lead to a 6-0 lead in the second inning of that, and the Rangers cruise 7-1. An Orioles team that here on this show, again, I've said it many times, grew up on this team, never thought that they were postseason ready with their pitching, the way it was currently constituted, and of course with the Bautista injury in the bullpen. So the Orioles swept by the Rangers, who have not lost a postseason game. And shout out to Bruce Bochy. Can I just make a non-sports betting Bruce Bochy comment on that? Bruce Bochy, who won 3 World Series with the San Francisco Giants, 13 years as the San Francisco Giants skipper, 12 before that with the Padres, but 3-13 with the Giants, famously. And at the end of the 2019 season, or is the beginning of the 2019 season, I can't remember, I think that was his last season, Farhan Zaidi was coming in, who was already in with the Giants. He was known as an analytics guy, came from the Dodgers organization. And in the Dodgers organization, it was known that some of the lineups and perhaps the in-game managing was not a Davey Roberts thing, but was sent from up above. And so why did Bochy leave the Giants? It wasn't that they pushed him out. Bochy was almost as classy as could be. I think he sensed on the horizon his old school, doing it by feel method of winning baseball, that he might have to actually, listen and defer to those above in the front office. And rather than push for a contract extension and make that something where the fans would rebel against the front office and it would be this awkward thing, he just said, you know what, this is my last year, I'm good. And allowed him to go away from the sport, reset, and look at him again with the Rangers now. Got the Texas Rangers in the American League Championship Series. So can't say enough about Bruce Bochy, who really handled his exit in San Francisco as well as any manager could with that kind of pedigree, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and everything he accomplished there.
Yeah. By the way, the fly's attacking me. Just want to point that out. All right. So
always one single one, too.
Because of that sweep, and they'll do, obviously, some soul-searching in Baltimore this offseason in terms of player acquisition, we have a triple header today at baseball. Atlanta at Philly, game number 3. This is the series that's knotted up at one game apiece. We go back to Philly. This is also the one listing that we don't have official yet. We don't know if the Braves are going with Bryce Elder today. Phillies are minus 120. We do know it's Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola, who went 7 strong against the Marlins in game 2 of that series, in the wild card series, the Philly mini sweep of the Marlins, 7-1 victory when he was on the hill. He went 7 strong, gave up no earned runs, 3 hits, 3 Ks, Gave up a walk in 88 pitches in that ball game. He was wonderful. On the season, though, you know, 4.46 ERA, 4.03 FIP, 3.63 XFIP. Nothing too spectacular. And as many a better will tell you, you don't know what you're getting from Aaron Nola game after game, but I think I'm on the Phillies probably in this one. I do have the Phillies again to beat the Astros in the World Series.
I was going to ask you about that. All right.
Well, the one that I'm definitely on, Houston at Minnesota, where it could be cold. It's Jose Urquidy at Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan finally gets a postseason start here after he was, we thought he was slated to pitch in the previous series. But Urquidy, just, you know, awful numbers, 5.29 ERA, 5.38 FIP, 5.45 XFIP. And a lot of that has to do with just a horrible K to walk ratio, 16.4% K rate and a 9.1% walk rate. But, you know, Christian Javier didn't have the best season ever, and he was great yesterday. Joe Ryan, 4.51 ERA, 4.13 FIP, and a 3.76 XFIP. The XFIP is better because he has a ridiculous 29.3% home run to, excuse me, pardon me, a high home run to fly ball rate. But he's got a 29.3% K rate and a 5.1% walk rate. He has a good swinging, you know, a good swinging strike rate. The issue with Joe Ryan here is that the Astros don't swing at nonsense. And so it's really not the best matchup. I'll be on the Astros to close this out today. So I think it's the if Phillies and the Astros for me, just sort of backing up my my whole futures play on the Phillies meeting the Astros in the World Series and beating them. And then I won't have anything to do with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks tonight. Diamondbacks looking to close out the Dodgers in a sweep as we head back to the desert. It's Lance Lynn at Brandon Pfaadt. And as we know, Brandon Pfaadt did not have a good year. Neither of these guys. 5.73 ERA for Lynn. The advanced stats aren't much better. The XFIP's a little better because of a terrible home run to fly ball rate. But 5.72 ERA this year for Pfaadt. But he went 2 2/3, gave up 3 earned runs in game 1 against the Brewers. Remember, that was the game where the Diamondbacks came back from a 3-0 deficit and had to win it 6-3. So I want nothing to do with that matchup as the Dodgers try to stave off elimination in that one. But very pumped for baseball today, triple header.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about some of those World Series odds, too, right now. I found those kind of interesting with the one team already having clinched a spot. Any interest in betting the Rangers at slightly longer price right now than Astros or Braves to win the World Series? I know you're already
invested. I'm already locked into it. I mean, I don't think 3-1 is a good enough number for anything at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, it would have to be juicier than that. You're not going to find, like, at this point, massive value. I mean, I think if there's anything there, the Diamondbacks with a 2-0 lead over the Dodgers at plus 650 might represent the best quote-unquote value at this moment in time. Unless you think the Dodgers are coming back.
I was going to bring that up.
At which point, 17-1 or the Twins at 18-1, if you think they're coming back from a 2-1 deficit, some people might think that's the best value. I do not, because that's not my pre-flop notion. But some people might view that as clearly the best. The Twins down 2-1, 18-1.
I don't think that Dodgers number is even long enough, or as long as it should be. But if I was going to make, if I thought they were coming back at all in that series, I would definitely be adding that.
I have zero confidence in them right now.
Yeah,
zero. Mookie Betts in a awful postseason slump, dating back to last year as well. Okay, football. We did have some football notes that are interesting. First of all, a lot of weather, not only in Minnesota tonight, is expected to perhaps be cool weather for the baseball game, but this weekend in the northeast portion of the country, a lot of inclement weather expected, and everybody sort of hit the unders big league-wide. What were all the games where we got knocked down on unders yesterday?
Yeah, 49ers, Browns, and I did take a piece of that under 30.5 when it was on its way down yesterday, but it's at 37.5 right now. Now, that is both weather and Cleveland Browns quarterback situation, I guess. Deshaun Watson, Browns still coming off, they're coming off a bye, but there's still questions about whether Watson's going to go this week or not.
And the Browns said P.J. Walker will be the starter, if not Deshaun?
Yeah, Browns with the interesting comment of that yesterday, which I don't really know why you need to say that unless you think Deshaun Watson's not going to play.
We don't know if he's not going to play, but if he doesn't, it's not going to be DTR anymore.
Yeah, I just don't know who in the media was hammering to know what the backup quarterback situation.
Well, you got your answer.
You're interested who the starter would be, but not the backup, so. That one, the Jets-Eagles, I think that game's also expected to get weather. That total at like 41 right now. And then Seahawks, Bengals, it might not sound like it's a super low total, but 44.5 for these two, I mean, for these two teams feels a little low. So that one, that one definitely lowered down as well.
Yeah, heavy winds expected tomorrow night in Kansas City. Any interest in the under or the Broncos, perhaps, in that one, getting the points?
I don't know if I can do it, but I think if anything, it'd be the Broncos on the points. 10.5. It's supposed to be, I mean, winds around 20 miles an hour sustained. Like, that's some serious wind. And this Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs defense have been playing great, right? But the offense is, they're not running away with too many games right now. So I don't know. I haven't done anything with it yet, Gil, but it would be Broncos and the points or nothing for me.
Yeah, we were talking about offensive rookie of the year briefly at the beginning of yesterday's show because of the Achane injury with the Dolphins and how he's sort of, if he's going to miss multiple weeks, that he's sort of removed from the offensive rookie of the year discussion. Cleaning up the offensive rookie of the year market just a little more this morning in the worst kind of way. Obviously, there's real-life implications, not just the betting ones. But Anthony Richardson now expected to miss 4 to 8 weeks per Adam Schefter for the Colts. So he de facto, right, by default, gets moved out of the offensive rookie of the year discussion. So this is getting very, very distilled now to the Stroud, Bijan, Puka Nacua trinity of the top.
Like, we're not even to week six yet. It's incredible. Yeah. Yes, like you are basically down to three. And I mean, just with one being a quarterback, you have to wonder if there's value on that number at plus 130. I know you got a great ticket on Puka Nacua, so you'll be rooting hard for him.
I don't have as good a number as others do. Yeah. Well, mine's 25-1. It's not as sexy as some other people have. But CJ Stroud is the quarterback in the mix, and he has done nothing not to win that award at this point.
Yep.
We'll come back. Drew Dinsick will join us. Talk a lot of NFL week number six and some Survivor thoughts as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A special numbers game investigation reveals that basketball season is ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures, and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel. The Jonathan Von model, if you will. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at vsin.com/subscribe. Our own Kelly Bidlin worked on that betting guide.
That's right. Live betting strategies, if you're watching at home. That one's me. And then alternate season win totals.
Love it. Drew Dinsick happens to be here. Drew Dinsick not only talks NFL with us, but he talks NBA with us as well. You may know him from both the Deep Dive podcast and, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. How you doing, Drewski? What's happening?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you guys. It feels like it's been a while, even though I'm pretty sure I talked to you guys last week. But everything's good.
Was that memorable, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's just been too busy. Been traveling and, you know, having a great time. Enjoying the NFL season so far. Excited for the NBA to come up. I feel like I have a lot of homework to do. I was kind of waiting to. I feel like there's a bunch of answers. We need a bunch of answers to questions about rotations to really have solid NBA fares. And so I was waiting to really sink my teeth until we had a couple of these preseason games going. And watching the preseason games has me pretty excited for this season. I mean, we have a lot of really good young teams to complement what is a super competitive, set of well-established contenders. So the season should be pretty awesome, not just from a betting standpoint, but from a entertainment standpoint.
Have you made any NBA season long bets at all? And short of that, even if you haven't, do you have some sort of formed opinions that you think might be counter to conventional wisdom?
I'm probably about a week away from really firing into some of the feature and award markets. It's tough. It's going to be tough. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I'm going to be able to find another 50-1 winner on the eve of the regular season, like Mike Brown, coach of the year last year.
That's right.
Hope there's something like that. But the futures markets proper and just kind of in general understanding which teams are going to be contending for titles is tough because it's a 2-horse race in the East, in my opinion, between Milwaukee and Boston. I lean Boston in that, but I haven't made a bet because I'm hopeful that I can scoop an in-season price that's better than the current price there. And then the West is awesome. I mean, realistically, I don't think anyone could give you high confidence of who the 8 playoff teams are going to be. There are going to be 3 that are is pretty unbelievable right now.
So let me ask you one macro NBA question before we move on to the NFL, which is you famously came on here and you gave a wonderful, wonderful, you were the first person to come on here, give a wonderful, dissertation on why you felt like NFL alternate season win totals was the market to bet. And you gave all reasons why that the pricing couldn't possibly be efficient on it. And we've talked about it for years since you first brought it up. The NBA is obviously not 17 games. It's 82 games per team on their schedule. Yet there are some spots, not all, but some spots are offering alternate season win totals in the NBA. Now, of course, the value of every win is not going to be nearly the same as it is in the NFL. But might you gravitate towards that market at all in the NBA?
My gut says it's probably just as true, but there are complicating factors. The first is that the win total markets in the NBA have gotten more efficient. There used to be totals you would see kind of flirting with 60 for the really good teams, mm-hmm. and 60 feels like an infinite number of wins in today's NBA. So there was low hanging fruit where if you had an angle to bet an under on a team that was expected to be outstanding, an alt under probably was even more of an edge. And then there was also the complications in the last handful of years of teams tanking for outstanding future prospects. Last year in particular, there were 4 or 5 teams that you realistically, you may have looked at them on paper and been like, man, a lot of good young talent here. They could take a step forward, but I can't play an over with this team because if they're even flirting with, a high lottery option, in the final, frame of the season, you could have had a great read that the Utah Jazz were going to be super competitive last year. I want to say their win total was like 21, 23. It was in the low 20s, and they beat it by margin. But even in doing so, they basically mailed in the final month of the season. And so that was a complicating factor last year that I don't really think exists this year. I haven't heard anyone really expecting that there is another wave of tanking, although it always happens. I would expect that some of these teams that have now tanked 3-4 seasons in a row, they're going to need to start showing improvement or there's going to be people who are losing their jobs. So I think realistically the bunching of teams, which number one, the market, just if you didn't already know, if you haven't been following win totals for years, the market, the totals themselves have been clustering, closer to average, which, should create value at the outliers. But I think this year, I would expect that you probably have a more bunched set of results because the strength and the disparity between teams, particularly in the West, is just not that high. And then the incentives for tanking are pretty low.
Kelly, by the way, put together some numbers on alt season win totals in the NBA, just as a backdrop for those who missed it. Last year, the number of teams with totals off by 3+ wins, 21, previous year, 22.
Wow.
And then the previous year to that, 19, the number of teams with win totals off by 5+ wins, which is really the extent of what is offered at the books that even offer this at this point, 17 of the NBA teams last year. So more than half, again, more than 5 teams, either to the good or to the bad, different from their pre-flop season win total. You see, it was 11 the year before that. So 5 is a little less of a sure feeling about that one. But that's interesting to go back and look at that. The other, I lied. There's one more NBA question. There is an in-play tournament this year. And it's at the beginning of, not quite the beginning, but it's December 7th through the 9th. And there's group play and there's knockout rounds. And it's very, European soccer fans are used to this. We're in the middle of a Premier League season. The teams go off and they play other things like the Champions League. We're not used to this. It's not quite the same thing because it's not with like teams from other countries or anything. But in the middle of the actual regular season, there's an in-game tournament. And some of these games count, right? The first ones count to the standings. And then they're going to manipulate how the teams that get knocked out will count their consolation games, will count towards the standings. It's a whole thing. Do you look forward to something like that? Do you think in advance, like, I'm probably not going to want any part of that, or there's no difference to that?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I think it, I don't know that it presents more angles than the regular season games would in that time frame, but there's probably some macro stuff that if you're paying close attention, if you're coming up with some theses about how teams will treat that tournament,
For instance, there isn't like, oh, young team wants to win this for whatever reason
I think that you can probably come into that with some, I haven't thought hard about the in-season tournament at all, but once we get to that point, I'm sure I'll have an opinion on how it shaped, you know, how the markets ought to be shaped relative to regular season NBA. The macro angle that I think is going to have the biggest impact, and hopefully for someone like me who carefully tracks player fatigue, has a positive impact on my bottom line, is the player participation policy.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you know about this or have talked about it already, but the policy prevents teams without approval from resting multiple star players in the same game or sitting healthy ones in national TV or in season tournament games. I think this is going to help people who are kind of carefully tracking, you know, player fatigue. You're going to have better projections and predictions for when players will sit on the non-nationally televised games. Cause I think the cake has been cooked. Like, this is how you manage the rigors of an 82 game season. Now, as you give your players, you know, specific games off. Of the homework I've done so far in the NBA season, it's mostly been looking at the schedule and trying to figure out, okay, these are sort of the non-critical games that teams are going to use as their active rest spots. And I think if you know that when the market opens or when it's widely shaped by the bettors, then I think you can probably capture a ton of value.
Yeah, JVT and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. I think it's going to be really interesting to track, Drew, and I'm right there with you. I'm hoping it falls into that. I'm a little scared. JVT brought this up. Do we just start getting more erroneous kind of injury reports, right? Where it's, oh, LeBron has a tight calf or something, and that's why he's not playing, to work around the rules. I really hope we don't see that.
Yeah. More NBA than I anticipated just talking this morning, but that's a good little, you know, preamble to the season for sure. We will talk NFL with Drew on the other side. Week 6, what he's got in pocket already, what he's thinking about, and how week 5 went for him. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one. Well, Zyn nicotine pouches, they're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. If you're a smoker or dipper, looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn is made with 6 simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. I'm told Bill Adie's favorite flavor is wintergreen. That's not in the read. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
I was going to ask about it.
And it's available in 2 strengths, so you can control your nicotine satisfaction because it's discreet. It's discreet, Kelly. You can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Cody at Let's Cody. Let's Cody 182. He says, oh, he's talking about F1. So they announced there, he just got wind of the times of the F1 races here in Vegas in November. He says, can you please talk today about how ridiculous these times are for East Coasters like myself? Yeah, everything starts here at like 10 at night.
Okay, so I had the same reaction initially, but then someone explained to me how the heat on the roads could be a issue.
Even right before Thanksgiving?
So that's what I thought as well, but I think just out of an abundance of caution in case it was unseasonably warm. Exactly.
This is from the Unders Club. Maybe Gil could mention this podcast just once on his show to help out his producer. I was talking about the Long Shots podcast.
Long Shots pod up. Yep. Yeah. Me and Wes.
Maybe I could. Just doesn't get enough promotion there, Unders Club. Bruce Dobiggin, clubbing at 70 lasts as long as it takes to look at your waitress and think of your grandchildren. That's what Bruce Dobiggin says at the age of 70 to our question about how long you could stay in the club. 3Jack, H3131. It would take no less than five figures to hang out for 3 hours in a club unless you bring delicious and Matt Brown kicks a field goal ahead of time. Go Rangers. He worked it all in there. Drew Ditzik is kind enough to join us for a second segment this morning again at @whale_capper. The name of his two podcasts are the Deep Dive Podcast with Drew Ditzik and Andy Molitor, and of course NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Drewski, how did your week five in the NFL go for you?
Ooh, week five was solid. Sides in particular, I think I went 5-1. Only loser was the Broncos, which was a weird one because my handicap was basically guessing that the Broncos defense was going to be healthy. They were, but it was their offense that was, basically the major, negative influence in that game. But I will completely own the fact that I got pretty lucky on a couple of things, and actually, like, to this point in the season, if you're doing well, I think you have to have gotten a little bit lucky.
Oh, yeah. What were the two you got lucky on? Because we were just talking about this on Monday, how, mm-hmm. we lose and it comes down to one play, but when we win, we don't acknowledge it as much, perhaps, as humans. What were the plays?
The lucky ones, I got away with a big bet on the Chiefs at 3.5. I think if you play that game a bunch, the Vikings probably tie it, and then the Chiefs kill the clock, win by three a lot of the time. That was the refs picking up that flag was pretty wild.
The ref picking up the flag, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that very often.
PI in the end zone that was flagged and then picked up for those who don't know what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. The other one that is more obvious and has been more talked about just because there's an easy angle to talk about it was Pittsburgh. I bet that game because I thought Kenny Pickett was going to have to sit. It was going to be Trubisky, and then he had a higher floor. And then Pickett ends up playing. There's a pretty obvious takeaways about the Ravens drops being hugely influential in that game. And, I guess maybe that, that excuses the Ravens second half performance, which was pretty miserable. But it also doesn't really give credit to the special teams in the defense for the Steelers, who, were pretty outstanding down the stretch of that one. So but either way, the Steelers winning was pretty wild. The other one that I guess it shouldn't have felt lucky, but like, because I feel like it was absolutely the right side. But Jacksonville winning outright felt a little bit that was there to be lost in a lot of ways. They left so many points in the field. So escaping that head to head with the win was pretty huge for not just Jags money line, but some of the Jags futures I have now having a little bit more equity. I think that was pretty nice. And then I was pretty close to betting on the Patriots. I was ready to go like, oh, you're going to let me bet Belichick under a field goal off the worst loss of his career. Let's go. And then I actually did the matchup, and I'd looked at my numbers and I was like, I can't justify this bet whatsoever. So I didn't play it. And that actually, saved me some money.
And even games you weren't involved in, right? Like I was talking about how, Houston Atlanta came down to that final drive. Could have gone either way.
Oh, I was involved in that.
Oh, you were.
I got to pick them. Yeah, I got the pick them on Atlanta. So I didn't middle it, which was a bummer. I could have. That would have been nice. But no, I was involved in that one. But I think Atlanta was the right side there.
Yeah,
I don't think that was a lucky result.
Oh, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's lucky. I'm just saying these games objectively come down to, those moments, right? It's all Plinko in the end for some of these. Even other games I was mentioning, the Titans, it'll get lost, had a 4th-and-1 for Derrick Henry that didn't convert. That game could have had a totally different outcome if that happens. And even in Cincinnati, which is clearly the right side against Arizona and won by 14 again, Arizona had a 4th-and-1 inside the 20 late third quarter, could have gone up in that game. And for whatever reason, they decide to go shotgun and east-west instead of, just sneaking Dobbs. Oh, there's so many of these games, right, where it like comes down to these one moments. And 1 yard is the issue in the end. All that said, oh, how we love betting it. And week number six of the NFL presents itself. What do you like? What have you bet so far?
Not very much, actually. This is my lightest action that I've had on a Wednesday to this point in the season. I think the last 3 weeks I probably had like 8 or 9 plays already, you know, fully staked. Mm-hmm. Right now, my only full stakes are Rams, Eagles, and Kansas City, Denver under, and all three numbers are gone. So I don't really even love any of them at current market price. So I'm staring at a board that looks pretty darn fair. I don't know how I'm going to come up with contest picks this week. And I guess I'm going to stick with the Rams as maybe my highest confidence, even though that's out to 7 flats everywhere now. You want to talk about the Rams a little bit and the,
please,
you know,
yes,
their matchup with the Cardinals. So I went against the Rams now 2 weeks in a row. I've bet against the Rams in the second half 3 weeks in a row, and it's been pretty profitable. And the reasons are very straightforward. They have a super young team, and their travel schedule through the first quarter of the season was brutal. They went to Seattle, they go to Cincinnati, they turn around and they go to Indianapolis with, you know, not staying in the, you know, the middle of the country. That was a perfect opportunity, by the way, to do like a mini camp and at the Greenbrier like the Niners do. I don't know why they elected to fly back and forth from LA, but whatever the case was, they put a lot of miles on that young team. And it looked to me, at least, like in the, you know, the Cincinnati game, they completely ran out of gas. The offensive line ran out of gas in the second half. In the Indy game, the whole defense kind of ran out of gas in the second half. Ultimately, the magic by Stafford after the injury kind of bailed them out of that spot. But, you know, they almost gave away a game that they had well in hand against the Colts. And so then, you know, I was pretty heavily staked on the Eagles last week, basically just expecting that the Colts D line, the Eagles D line was going to be able to dominate, as the offensive line got tired there. And I feel like that was really what carried the Eagles to victory, much more so than their sputtering offense in the second half. Now the Eagles, basically, they've got a full week of not having to travel. Play, you know, resting at home. I think that's going to do wonders for this young team. And I think that another, you know, a week now of kind of figuring out what you have in Cooper Kupp, how to integrate Kupp and Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell. I mean, that might be the most dynamic three wide receivers in football right now. I don't know that there's another team that has three healthy wide receivers that are better than the Rams, and Stafford's playing at an elite level. Cardinals aren't really a team that I think can generate pressure without bringing a blitz. Stafford, incredible against the blitz. I think he pretty much carves these guys, and some of the magic of, you know, Arizona kind of giving you more early season effort than expected on the back of maybe people talking about how this team was tanking and they were no good. Well, they are no good, and we know it now. And I think the Rams can expose these guys, like 30-10 vibes. So Rams -7 is still a bet for me.
30-10 vibes. Van Jefferson, by the way, traded, in case you missed it, to the Atlanta Falcons yesterday as well. Glut at wide receiver with Stafford feeding his best buddy, Cooper Kupp. They were doing a whole thing about who's been the widest open thus far this season on most plays, and the quarterback just doesn't even go his way.
Sure.
Ja'Marr Chase, number one. Turns out he is open. He is bleeping open all the time. And Puka Nacua is number two. Like, ever since Cooper Kupp got there, and even before that, it felt like we got to let Kupp back and be the star, so let's not go to Nacua as much. Real quick, 20 seconds. You won a quarterly booby prize last year. What did you do the first week of that booby prize? Did you go 0-5?
Oh, yeah. No, there was it was 2 weeks before we got to the final quarter. I went 0-5, and I kind of did the math, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of the pool that's eliminated because they didn't get their picks in 1 week. So I started tacking even before we got to the final quarter.
Okay, so
but yeah, I went 0-5 week one, 0-5 week two,
and then it was on. I was just asking for a friend, Drew. Thank you. Will Hill next on Major League Baseball.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Still to come, Mike Pritchard on the show to talk NFL, and a discussion about betting exchanges with Dean and Jake from Profit Exchange, Sport Trade out there as well. A lot of options for those in certain jurisdictions like New Jersey. We'll talk about that. Kelly Bidlin, though, if those, for those who don't know, is a bit of a melanin expert, I believe. And so is wondering how Joe Burrow, could you like explain what you were talking about off air?
This goes back. Hey, if you listen to Drew's pod, the Deep Dive podcast, great podcast.
Yeah.
He's brought it up a couple times on there. I know other people have as well, but of how much Macaulay Culkin looks like Joe Burrow or vice versa.
Vice versa, yeah.
Yeah. How much Joe Burrow looks like Macaulay Culkin. I get it, except I can't see it as clearly because if you ever saw a picture of my brother, you'd be like, that's Macaulay Culkin. Like, that is Macaulay Culkin. So my problem, though, is how do you have Joe Burrow, who's been playing football outside his entire life, pale as he is? He's so pale.
Yeah.
And I know I'm pale, Gil, but I sit here and do this every
day. And my response, and I think it really reflects the response of 99.9% of our audience, will be like, because he wears a helmet and pads.
He's done this his whole life outside. Come on. Shorts, everything. It's not like he's in pads and helmet every single day.
Here's a man who's melanin challenged. His name is Will Hill, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He's the star of the Megapod, one of the stars, and, of course, of the Bear Bets Pod, both pro football and college football versions. How you doing, Will?
Gil, what's going on? Sweating out this tiebreaker here with Cerenko. I think we're up 3-2, so
yeah.
You know how these tiebreakers go. Hopefully one goes our way here.
We're up 4-2, by the way.
Yes, good update. Keep them coming.
Yeah. I was on a Tennis Channel podcast yesterday. I should probably give a shout-out. It's not out yet, though. It'll be out tomorrow. Thursday will come out. So I'll let everybody know where to find that when it is out. And then later today, by the way, since we're talking about that, I will be on the Bet the Process pod with Jeff Ma and Rufus Peabody at some point as well. So looking forward to that. Oh, anyway, sorry I hijacked that entirely. 5-2 in the tiebreaker, Will. Okay.
No, get some more plugs in. Anything else you got? Is that it?
Megapod tomorrow with Rufus Peabody. We're doing a little exchange. All right. Yeah, we're doing a little exchange. I'm on with Rufus and Jeff, and Rufus is on with us. Okay. You wanted to say something, because we were talking about this earlier off air. You wanted to say something about the Orioles getting swept.
Yeah, I got a couple old guy takes. First, you said it well with Bochy. I'm glad the manager, the old school manager, still has a place in the game because it was a dying position. These guys like Bochy, Dusty Baker, even Snicker, I'm glad they're still around. There's still a place for him because it was turning into a position where it's just, you know, it's the 30-year-old kid with his laptop doing what the GM tells him to do. Hey, they tell me to take the pitcher out. I take the pitcher out, you know, in the fourth inning. And I'm glad guys like Bochy still have a role in the game. And I heard this a lot yesterday as the Orioles were getting swept. Oh, this doesn't in any way diminish their season. It does a little bit. You got swept. I mean, you were home. You were favored. You were not competitive in the series. It's like, look, you won 100 games. I understand the future is bright, but I don't know. It's just this new thing in sports and society. It goes back to Giannis last year when they lost to Miami. He's like, there's whatever he said, his Tony Robbins speech of there's no failure. It steps to success. It's like, come on, this is sports. You lost, you got swept and kind of have a little bit like it is a bad look a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think it's a point worth bringing up because I mean, look, I thought they were a year away. I thought at the trade deadline they were playing for the dynasty. They weren't playing for this year. And yeah, I mean, what it does is you can't talk about the season without, you know, a team that never got swept once the postseason hit.
Texas wasn't the 98 Yankees, by the way. They had 11 Cy Young awards on the shelf. This is not a great team they lost to. So, I mean, that was a bad loss. How about the AL East being 0-7, too? It's just there's definitely some unpredictability with it, but I just thought that was interesting.
So where do all of your bets stand right now?
I have Twins to win the American League, and I have a Twins-Phillies exact, the 60-1 that has taken a couple of haymakers in the past couple of days, starting with Monday night, where that was just as bad a loss as it gets for Philly. I mean, it's hard to beat Atlanta 3 out of 5. It's damn near impossible to beat them 4 out of 5, and that's really what Philly's got to do now. Philly's got to beat them 4 out of 5 because they had them beat the other night. They had men on base all night. They're up 4-0. Could have easily. That was one hit away from being 6-7, 8-0 a few different times, so I'd worry about Philly here going forward. It sounds like Atlanta's going to pitch Smith Schwarber tonight, start him, and maybe piggyback Elder. So I didn't play a side in that game. I don't play a lot of totals, so I'm going to wait for a pitching announcement. I'm probably going to play the over. I don't play a lot of overs, I should say. I do play totals. I think that's going to be a lot of runs. Nola gives up a lot of homers, 32 homers in like 190-something innings. And I think whoever Atlanta pitches will give up some runs, whether it's Elder, whether it's Schwarber, we'll probably see both of them. To me, this is like a 6-5, 7-6 type of game. I think we'll see some offense here, small ballpark, decent weather night. So I worry about Philly, though. Sometimes these short series, they turn and they never turn back. That was a gut punch loss for Philly the other night.
Ooh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. For those of us who have stakes in Philly, it sure was. By the way, just one correction. That is the early game today. That's the 5:07 Eastern, 2:07 Pacific start. Phillies in a deadlock series at one apiece hosting the Braves. Phillies -120 behind Aaron Nola. Then it's the Astros and the Twins, the aforementioned Twins. Astros went up 2-1 in that series. One of the haymakers you took yesterday, Jose Abreu with a first inning haymaker. Astros trying to close this out now. Joe Ryan finally gets his postseason start, but it is against Jose Urquidy. It is against Urquidy. Urquidy has not been good. That didn't seem to bother Christian Javier, you know, for not being good for most of the season either. So what do you like here with the Twins? Twins also -120 favorites.
Yeah, exactly my thought process. We're like, hey, Urquidy hasn't been good, but hey, that thought process didn't manifest yesterday, but this is a nice pitching advantage for Minnesota. Maybe Houston looks at it as like, I can't call it a house money game because you are still two games away from elimination, and anything can happen in game five, especially with Lopez for Minnesota. I didn't bet it. If I do bet it, I would bet Minnesota. Maybe I'll end up betting them. It would be a smaller play just because, like you said, I just thought Minnesota had some bad at-bats. They had chances all day yesterday, walks, hit by pitches. Seems like every inning they had two, three guys on base, just couldn't get the hit to get them back in the game. So it'd be Minnesota or nothing. Hopefully we get a game five, not just for my bet's sake, but just for the sake of entertainment. I mean, the wild card round was a dud. It was four sweeps. We got a sweep with Baltimore, Texas. Hopefully we get a little drama here, get a deciding game. So I would think Minnesota forces a game five here.
Would you? We were talking about how Minnesota is now 18-1, 18-1 to win it all, down 2-1 in this series. There's also an adjusted series price on them as well, which I'm efforting right now. If you didn't have any stakes in them right now, and you were just landing on it now, would you play it, either of those?
18-1 is not quite enough for a ticket that I can just bet it and it's dead and I got to win two elimination games. I'd probably need north of 20. So it's not terrible. Like if you had nothing in pocket, you want a little rooting action. Hey, Minnesota 18-1, they win today. And then you're, you know, maybe live going forward. I don't think it's a bad bet, but not quite enough for me to jump in.
Serious price? Did you get one? Oh, I thought you jumped in there with a serious price.
Probably +280. I think it's plus 280, something like that.
Something like that on the Twins. And then the Evel Knievel, helmet on the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. Dodgers similarly to win it all now 17-1, but they're down 2-0 to the Diamondbacks. They're +450 to win this series at this point. Do you want any part of the Dodgers? The Dodgers are -140 road favorites in this ball game tonight.
I feel bad for jumping off my snakes too early. I was on this team all year. I love this team. I did take a little piece of LA +450. There was a +470 yesterday that I missed that I'm upset about, but I did bet +450 this morning. I just think they win today, and if they win today, who knows? Then you got a little wiggle room. If you ever got to a game five, you could just play back and take Arizona +1.5. Hell, Arizona's going to be +1.5. Laying a little juice in all these games if you really want to just, you know, sort of get creative here and try to middle this. I think +450 is a decent price. I think Arizona's got two big pitchers in Kelly and Gallen, and they got good pitchers at the back end with Ginkle and Seawald, but they don't have a lot in between. This kid tonight spent a lot of time in the minors. He's not any good. Their middle relief, which is really the big story. I think one of the big stories of the postseason, the Arizona bullpen was awful all year, and it hasn't been bad. They've been decent. But I think if you can get to the underbelly, the fifth, sixth, seventh inning guys, the non-Ginkle Seawald guys, I think there's some exposure there. There's some liability. At some point, Betts and Freeman got to hit the ball. I mean, these are two of the best players in baseball, and they've done nothing. So
yeah,
this is a good park to hit. This is a good pitcher to hit. I think they score some runs tonight. I would take the Dodgers. This came to mind as I'm mentioning this might be a yes run first inning with Lynn going and Fott going. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. Yes run first inning. I think 7 in a row, 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. It's done very well here recently.
Sure has. By the way, Twins +320 to come back and win that series against the Astros, just to clarify. All right,
I think that's a good one, though. If you're betting the Dodgers on the series price, will you sprinkling anything on that World Series price on them? 17-1?
I think it makes sense. Again, you could be dead on arrival as soon as you make the bet, but 17-1 is not terrible.
30 seconds. Favorite football play, either college or pro, this weekend is?
I'll go Colts +4. I think that's a lot of points. Jags been in London for like a month and a half now, right? And then they don't have any time off in between. That's a division game. Those are usually close, so I could see that being a field goal game.
Let me check on that. Kelly, a month and a half? Is that how long the Jaguars have been?
Sounds about right. I also have John Harbaugh travel info for you at some point during the show.
John Harbaugh traveling.
Yeah, Ravens traveling. Oh, so, yes.
Oh, okay. which the Ravens left on Monday. Unlike the Buffalo Bills, Ravens went off to London this past Monday. Will, thank you as always. Go Boys plug.
Megapod, Bear Bets Pod, and twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork. Appreciate it, guys.
Will Hill, everybody. That's right here on the show at Not The Will Hill. Megapod with Rufus Peabody this week on the Beating the Book feed. Looking forward to that. Mike Pritchard joins us to talk football next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Levitard next.